Good morning. Welcome to the 2012 Integrated Marketing Virtual Conference. I'm Heather Fletcher, Senior Editor of Target Marketing Magazine, and I'm here to welcome you to Next Generation Analytics, Big Data and the Multi-Channel World. This is a session sponsored by InfoGroup in which Devyani Saad will discuss how online, multi-channel, and attribution analytics can help businesses realize their full potential. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how you can make the most of this session. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot them by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console that bears a question mark, or let us know through the question and answer box. Issues such as loss of sound or stuck slides may mean you have to refresh your browser or, on a PC, push the F5 button. You can use the Q&A box to submit your questions to Dr. Saad. Time permitting, we'll be addressing select questions later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers so you can use all of the widgets and features on this console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget to customize your viewing experience. And if you have Twitter, please use the hashtag IMV12. I for integrated, M for marketing, and V for virtual. Finally, if you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show. We'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning on Monday, August 20th. Now let's hear from Devyani Saad.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Devyani Saad. I'm the CEO of Data Square, and I'm also the head of or the chair of the DMA's Analytics Council, and I've taught analytics at NYU and UConn, et cetera. So what we're going to cover today is big data analytics in the multi-channel world, and this is to be viewed more as an overview of what big data is and what does analytics refer to in this particular space. So we look at the four pillars of big data analytics, and that would start with data, the big data. The second one would be technology. The third is the analytics themselves. The fourth is strategy. And then after that, we'll take a look at few of the big data analytic applications that other organizations have undertaken successfully. And finally, a view on the social ROI of big data analytics. So just a little preview on Data Square. This is an organization that provides a fusion of analytics, technology, and strategy to accelerate marketing and sales ROI. So we operate in the fusion space. So if anybody is interested, certainly please feel free to contact us. And the contact information is both in the beginning and the end of the presentation. So regarding big data analytics, the goal would be very similar to the goal that we would have with what we're referring to as small data analytics, and this is to explore and understand data to generate insights and finally to take timely actions that would impact the business and deliver ROI. The differentiating factor of big data analytics is that we are now studying data or sources of data and types of data that are untapped by unconventional methods. So a little bit on the landscape of big data itself. So according to IDC, and this is there's a little bit of variation on the researcher. According to IDC, we had about 180 exabytes of data in 2008. And by 2020, this we may reach 35,000 exabytes. And just to sort of give you an idea, we have some new terms here with the advent of big data. One exabyte is about 1 billion gigabytes. And according to IBM, 90% of the data, and this is global, has been created in the last 2 years. So we can see how big data is increasingly relevant to all kinds of businesses, and it's only going to grow very quickly in the next couple of years. We already see this growth path here on the graph here, as we can see, the business application data or the business transaction data has sort of grown in a fairly linear fashion, but the growth of web application data, which is one of the components of the big data space, has been very dramatic and exponential. And so regardless of the size of the business, what experts are projecting is that the volume of business data doubles every 1.2 years. So let's take a look at each of the four pillars of big data analytics next. We have the big data technology, analytics, and visualization and strategy, as we had mentioned before. The first one is the big data itself. And so what are the components of big data? We're talking about three differentiators. And the first one is volume. So we already looked at some of the volume statistics. We're talking about exabytes rather than gigabytes and so on. There's another term you might like to be aware of, and that's the petabyte. That's about 1 million gigabyte, and the exabyte is 1 billion gigabytes. So big data really is about volume, high volume of data. So we're moving away from the gigabytes to the petabytes and the exabytes. The second one is velocity. And this refers to the speed of data that comes in and out of the system. And the speed is actually very, very important because in a lot of real-time applications, it's critical to have that data point immediately with zero latency. And that's one of the characteristics one of the defining characteristics of big data. The third one is variety. So here in the big data space, we see a range of data types and data sources. And these sources could be semi-structured, structured, or unstructured. And an example of the unstructured sources we're going to look at next, those would be the blogs, the social media posts, and things of that nature that don't easily fit into the traditional database scheme because they are not quantitative in nature. And that also is in many ways a differentiating aspect of big data. However, we do want to note that big data can also be in a structured format, which is similar to the format that we've seen in the past with conventional data. So the types of big data include business application data, and examples of these would be the SAP or the Oracle ERP data. We have what is called human-generated content as the next type of big data, and this is data generated by people in the social media space, the blogs, the Twitter streams, the things that people are writing and saying and so on. And then finally, we have the machine data, and examples of this would be RFID, the log files, et cetera. This last one is often referred to as the exhaust fumes of the web world. And it's good data because it allows us to analyze a lot of activity that people haven't necessarily provided to us explicitly, but it has a lot of value. So additional examples beyond the categories of big data. So we have the things that we're most familiar with, the social networks, the things that people are posting on the blogs, the reviews, the messages, the digital pictures, videos, and things of that nature. We already gave you the example of the RFID under the machine-generated. We also have the mobile phone call CDR data, call detail record data, and there's a lot of that, so it falls under the big data category and offers some unique analytic points. We have the cell phone GPS signals, yet another example of high volume. And, of course, the more traditional e-commerce and the transactional records of online purchases, which in some cases can actually become very large. So a few more highlights of the big data stream. We have about 1 billion visitors combined across Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, et cetera. And Facebook alone generates approximately 10-plus terabytes a day. Not going to read all of these, but just so you have a sense, 2 million plus blog posts and 300 billion plus emails. So all of these are rich sources of data that are available for analysis. So that was then the first pillar of big data, which was the big data itself. Now, data can only take us so far. We need the second pillar, which is the technology piece. And here we're talking about four things, really. The first one is infrastructure. And this infrastructure is required to store data and also to move these vast quantities of data. The second one would be data integration tools. And in this section, we need to ingest those vast quantities of high-velocity data. So these data are coming in at a very high speed. We need to be able to return them to whatever tools or applications that we have at an equally fast pace so that we can offer or we can operate in a real-time or a zero-latency environment or a minimal-latency environment. So that's the data integration part. And the third one would be the data management solutions. And we do need ways in which some of these are the ways that we've used in the past, but some of these may be new ways to manage the extent of data based on the volume, the velocity, and the variety. And then the fourth one, fourth area of technology would be the applications and solutions. So these would be new applications or perhaps refinements of existing applications that would take in the new databases, the analytical tools, et cetera, that would be very industry or function specific and able to resolve the big data problems. So those are the four subsections within the technology space, our second pillar, and some examples of technologies that are increasingly important in the big data space would be the NoSQL databases. So, for example, we have existing technologies in the relational structure that can handle structured data, and there are some techniques that people have come up with to make that process more efficient, such as the denormalization, the distributed caching, etc. But even with the enhancements, we don't really have the ability to deal with the unstructured data with some of the conventional methods, and hence the introduction of the NoSQL databases, the Hadoop, the MapReduce, et cetera. Some of the other technologies are technologies that we are familiar with but have a specific and a more intense application, the scalable storage systems, of course, the internet and the cloud-based computing platforms, et cetera. The distributed file systems and distributed databases would be yet another example. And, of course, one of the most important ones would be the massively parallel processing or the MPP databases. So that then was our second pillar for the big data analytics, the technology. And now we move on to the third pillar, which are the analytic techniques themselves. So for those of you that have analyzed what we will call small data are probably very familiar with some of these techniques listed here, such as the association analysis, such as the cluster analysis, such as the predictive modeling, the regression, and so on. So many of these analytic techniques that have been used in the past are very appropriate for big data analytics. And when we look at the fourth pillar, you'll see how and why some of these things make sense. I mean, it makes sense, for example, to continue to use predictive modeling in some cases. But what we also find is that within the rubric of big data analytics, we may be using some newer analytic techniques. And also, there's been a study done that shows the relative weight given to different analytic techniques in the small data world versus the big data world. And pattern recognition and visualization all of a sudden rise to the top or have a higher weight or representation because we want to understand certain things better. Sentiment analytics are things that, you know, we are doing more of with the big data. So many of the analytic techniques are the same, but specifically for unstructured data, new techniques or techniques that have sort of been there but not really used as much are coming to the forefront. And data fusion and integration, the crowdsourcing, those are, again, examples of newer techniques. There's also more opportunity for artificial intelligent techniques, and so the supervised and the unsupervised learning, as well as the simulation with the AI methods. So what are a few of the characteristics of big data analytics? I mentioned just a few slides back that real-time or near-real-time delivery is one very important facet of this type of analysis, simply because we're operating in a multi-channel world, and really beyond multi-channel, and we'll look at that as well, in an omni-channel world. So it's very important to deliver information in an immediate fashion. The second one is data in memory. So we have this notion of the data on a spinning disk at the other end of a FC-SAN connection, and that may not be optimal, for example. For a lot of practitioners, shared storage is not preferred either. So those are just some highlighted characteristics of the big data analytics. Many of the principles of small data analytics would continue to apply. So our last and final pillar, and in my mind, one of the most important and critical pillars, is strategy. We absolutely cannot lose track of strategy, because when we do, and when we move forward with either the data, the technology, or the analytic technique, our success is not as strong as the success that we would see if we lead with strategy. And what does that mean? So the first component of the strategy pertains to the clear business objectives. In the old world, you know, we had some very clear objectives, and examples of common objectives would be things like, how do we get new customers? How do we retain those customers? How do we get a greater share of wallet? How do we cross-sell? How do we get them to buy more? How do we ensure that we have a loyal customer base? Our objectives remain the same or very similar, but our methods to gain those objectives or to realize those objectives are a lot more sophisticated in the big data world. But that being said, with any analysis, either now or in the past, our starting point always needs to be the strategy. So if our focus is to increase customer loyalty, we will create the type of utilization of unstructured data, perhaps from the different social media streams, et cetera, analyze that, create timely actions, and move the business forward. The second aspect of strategy involves multi-year roadmaps. And these roadmaps have three key components. One is the data itself. The second one is analytics, or the analytic insights, to be more exact. And the third one is the timely action. So from a data perspective, we're referring to a strategy for integrated collection, storage, and just combining the data from the different sources. Once we have all of that, we're talking about the not just the analytic techniques and whatever comes out of that, but the insights that are generated, the descriptive, the predictive, and the prescriptive insights, and finally converting all of those into timely actions, what we're referring to as data monetization. So if all of these three things happen in tandem, we will realize success. And it's important, once again, not to stop at the data, not to stop at the technology, but to carry the thing forward, which each of these three components moving forward and aligned with the business. So that then was our fourth pillar. And moving on to a few applications for big data analytics, we see a lot of opportunity in a variety of different verticals and industry sectors. And one example would be the e-tailing, e-commerce, and online retailing applications. So just a few examples of these applications, we want to deliver a consistent and a cross-channel customer experience. Actually, I would go beyond the cross-channel to say omni-channel customer experience. We want to have the opportunity to optimize the back-end processes. We want to engage in recommendation engines so that we can provide the cross-sell suggestions to the customer to increase the total revenue in the basket. We want to engage in cross-channel analytics, and this is in the domain of sales attribution. So this is often a tricky one, and I do believe that there's another session here at the conference that talks about this, but the sales attribution deals with which channel is accounting for which portion of the revenue or what portion of the revenue. Then we have the average order size and how are we going to engage in these cross-channel analytics to increase that, the lifetime value, and so on. So moving on to event analytics, often we'll come across a scenario where a person is registered for a webinar. So let's take this particular webinar that you've registered for. There may have been a series of steps that led to this particular outcome. There may have been a series of communications prior to the webinar. There were a series of communications. There were a series of steps. So understanding what those series of steps were, understanding what we would call offering the right communication at the right time are all domains that we can use big data analytics for. And what would be the next best offer to our customers? And then this last one, the tailored interactions across multiple interaction channels. So we've sort of heard this thing about the right audience, right offer, right time. It's actually been very, very difficult to execute this well in the small data analytics world. And with the big data analytics and with a lot of different types of information, with more data that are available to us, and then the integration of those data sources in a way that, you know, they say that 2 + 2 is more than 4. That's what happens when we bring in different data sources and integrate them and create insight from that. So that, I do believe that in this particular realm, these tailored interactions across multiple interaction channels benefit greatly from big data analytics. So here's an example of eBay's Singularity Teradata Warehouse, just to give you an idea of scale and scope. And not every organization is an eBay, but just want to give you a little preview. This exceeds 40 petabytes, and just to refresh, the 1 petabyte is 1 million gigabytes, 50-plus terabytes per day in new incremental data, and 99.98% availability, and more than 50 petabytes of online storage. So this is the type of volume that we're talking about. Another example of big data analytics in this particular domain of the e-tailing, online retailing application, e-commerce. So Amazon will actually pay shoppers $5 to walk out of retail stores empty-handed. And what are they looking for? They want shoppers to compare prices on this Amazon's price check application. And basically, shoppers can scan the barcode, take a picture, do a text search or what have you, and then submit the price of these items. So a great example of how big data analytics can play in creating new opportunities for marketers and actually creating a threat to other more traditional and conventional marketers. And then we have this point about multi-channel to omnichannel retail analytics. So omnichannel is sort of the next level of multi-channel, and it's an evolution of multi-channel, and this is the seamless integration of a variety of different channels so that we can offer to consumers an integrated or a very seamless experience, and they can be engaging via their mobile phone, the internet, in-store, and so on, and all of these points of data are captured, and the response is happening in near real time to offer the consumers what they need to make the decision that may be in the favor of the omnichannel retailer. Some more examples of retail and consumer applications. So those of you who are accustomed to conducting analytics in the traditional sense will recognize many of these applications, such as the behavior-based targeting, the market and consumer segmentations. You know, we've sort of been doing this in the conventional world for a long time now, the supply chain management, the campaign management and customer loyalty programs, the merchandising and market basket analysis. What's different in the big data world is that these analyses are a lot more sophisticated. And the other thing that's different is the combination or the integration of data from a variety of different data sources. And here are some examples. We take customer sentiment data, and merge that with the geolocation data and the customer preference analysis, along with the market trending information, which is based on the contextual text analytics, and all of a sudden we have what you would call a gold bar or a real nugget that can help us generate insights that would then allow us to make very intelligent marketing decisions that are very tightly linked into engagement, A, and then revenue and profitability. And we're going to see some examples at the end of how some organizations have realized some of these gains. In the financial service world, we see a lot of big data applications as well, and many of these are things that have been done in the traditional sense, but a lot of sophistication now with the big data analytics, a lot of opportunity in terms of doing these better and getting more accurate results. So we have the fraud detection and security analytics, and I'm just going to cover a few of these. We've been doing the customer loyalty programs as in almost every vertical sector, the high-speed tracking, the trade surveillance, the abnormal trading pattern analysis, all of these, especially I would say the fraud and the abnormal trading pattern analysis, as well as the trade surveillance. Many of these tie in very, very nicely with real-time notions. And so, you know, when we talk about real-time, there's a very high correlation that we see with big data analytics because those two just seem to go hand in hand. So here's a specific example from a specific organization. This is a large financial institution. And they had data warehouses from multiple departments stored separately. And in this particular example, what was done is that this bank combined the different data warehouses into a single repository in Hadoop for analysis. And the end result was a new and more accurate risk score. So it wasn't as if a risk score wasn't being created in the past, but with these, some of these methods, the accuracy level of the risk score could be increased for the customer portfolios. And the application then is to manage the exposure better and offer each customer more suitable products and services. So you'll notice that both of these things, and by way of application, are actually very similar to what we've done in the past. The difference is perhaps that now we can increase the accuracy level of the analytics that we're engaging in. In terms of fraud management, this is actually a very important area for big data analytics. And here we're basically improving profitability by predicting the likelihood that a given transaction or an account is experiencing fraud. Now, this fraud may be a first-party fraud or a third-party fraud or a deliberate misuse of account privileges, etc. And it is extremely important, of course, to detect that fraud and to curtail that fraud, but many of these things must happen in real time because the transactions are happening in real time. We want to be in a position to generate recommendations for immediate action to stop the fraud. And these are a variety of different areas in which this can be utilized very effectively. So the deposit account, the healthcare fraud, the Medicaid, the property and casualty insurance fraud, the workers' compensation fraud are all good examples of how fraud can be detected and prevented using big data analytics. The next example that we're going to look at from an industry perspective would be the web and digital media services applications. So we talked about the exhaust fumes and of the web, and really this social graph analysis and all of this clickstream data that is now available to us is available because people have generated that kind of data, not by plugging it in, but just engaging in certain kinds of activity. So this type of application allows us, you know, to improve our campaign management, to inform our loyalty programs, to once again, this is also helpful for fraud prevention, and we're going to see an example of the targeting ad in a couple of slides. So, in fact, the next slide. So here's an example of an organization. This is a big box retailer with 3.5 billion records and 71 million unique cookies. So, you know, I do want you to take a look at the scale that we're talking about here. And the goal is to create 1.7 million targeted ads per day. Now, this is a classic application of big data analytics because, you know, when we just look at the volume. And the results are that we see an improved return on ads, faster analytics, so consumers get more and relevant ads more quickly. Yet another example from Yelp. And Yelp is seeing very rapid growth, 400 gigabytes per day. And with 50-plus million monthly visitors and 18 million reviews. And what they were interested in was to create an algorithm that could create, that would provide suggestions for common misspellings. So when a person starts to spell something in, basically they would be provided with some suggestions for the correct spelling. And this is possible if you were to look at millions of misspelled words that are then used to create this predictive algorithm. So this is an example of how different types of applications are using or different types of organizations are using big data analytics in new and creative applications. The online dating world, this is a leading online dating service, and analyses, really predictive analyses, were conducted to look at the compatibility between individual member, and each member provides a lot of information. All of that information needs to be correlated with every other individual so that we can come up with some good matches. And the algorithms, so Match.com, for example, are very similar to the algorithms used for LinkedIn because they do similar kinds of things in terms of making suggestions and recommendations, et cetera, as well. One more application is in the social gaming arena, and here we're trying to identify the likes, dislikes, and relationships between users. We're trying to enhance the games themselves and to perhaps recommend other content based on what the players have engaged in the past, very similar to the movie recommendation notion or the product recommendation notion, and creating special offers or packages. So, you know, when you look at each of these bullets here, even if you're not in the social gaming industry, it doesn't really matter. We can use these same notions or concepts and apply it to our world. And I can think of a lot of industries in which we can apply these applications. One specific organization, Zynga, and this is actually a good example because they process more than a petabyte of data. And so every day, process more than a petabyte of content every day and continuously analyze the game experience. And their results were that taking the data analytics and combining that with creative game design allowed them to deliver a superior player experience, which, again, results in revenue, profit, retention, et cetera. Let's take a look at some telecommunication applications. We have the standard one of the campaign management and customer loyalty. You'll notice that this is sort of state standard, consistent across a variety of different verticals. The churn prevention, this is something that the telecom industry has been doing for a very long time, but big data analytics just gives us a greater flavor, more data sources, et cetera. Call detailed record analysis. Now, the CDR analysis is possibly one area where big data has really provided a big push, as well as the network performance and optimization and the mobile user location analysis. So these are massive amounts of data that need to be analyzed using the types of technology that we had mentioned earlier, as well as, in some cases, the newer techniques. So the specific example here is from this large telecom provider, and what they did is they analyzed the call logs and the complex data from the multiple sources. Notice multiple sources is key here. And then the aggregation of all of these web logs, network base station logs, and network signaling traffic, which is a huge amount of volume, and then the data mining and the network route optimization. So the resulting analytic output is in the form of customer profiles that we're all familiar with. It's in the form of customer segmentations that we've done for more than a few decades already, and the products and services optimization. I would say that the products and services optimization is a lot more accurate now than it was in the past. And certainly the segmentation and the profiles are more sophisticated. But as I mentioned, you know, some of these outputs will be very recognizable. So this one here is another example of a large cellular service provider with 50 million plus subscribers, 30 terabytes of call detail records data every month, 50 billion records added every month. And the objective here is to provide online access to customers. And the online access is for the cell phone calls, the SMS, the billing, and the web data records. And the solution here, and this is, I would refer to this as a big data solution, the CDR is stored in an 80-node cloud-based cluster, and the CRM system directly reads from this cloud-based cluster for presenting the monthly billing history. Utilities has seen a big shift with the introduction of smart meters, and these include sophisticated sensors that monitor voltage, frequency, currents, etc. And the idea here is that we really do want to pay attention to all of the data streaming off of the different sensors. And the process, once again, is this cloud-based data cluster solution to analyze both the demand and the supply via the supply and the demand, which is created via, or rather represented via the smart meters. Insurance, similar types of applications that we've seen in the past, but perhaps with more and advanced and sophisticated vehicle telemetry data, we want to individualize the insurance policies. Now, we have the ability to individualize the insurance policies and also gain insight, deeper insight. We always gained insight into what customers were doing, et cetera, but this is a deeper level of insight into their driving habits, and that allows us to deliver a more accurate assessment of risk. It allows us to create more individualized pricing and also to motivate individual customers to improve their driving habits. So those are a few examples of applications in the insurance sector. Travel, all of these applications here are things that we've done very effectively in the past, such as gaining insights into customer preferences and desires, upselling products, increasing the browse to buy conversion with the customized offers, and then delivering personalized travel recommendations. What's new and different is that this optimization of the buying experience through the weblog and the social data analysis takes a whole different meaning when we introduce the big data component, if you will. So instead of just looking at certain parts of data or, you know, certain components, now we can, because, you know, when you go into some of the travel sites, there's a lot of information that was captured in the past. But with better technology and better means of integrating a lot of the data that may have been unused before or not available, we can actually create a better optimization of the total buying experience. Some of the newer applications, the sentiment analytics, where we look at, well, how are people responding? Is it a negative, positive, or a neutral affect? Mashups. So these are ways in which we can take two different pieces of information and bring them together. So the mobile user location and the precision targeting is one example. And there are a lot of different mashup examples where we take two different sources of data and bring them together to create a third data source, or even in some cases a third application that has a whole independent being, if you will. And then this last one, we mentioned the exhaust fumes of the web, this whole machine-generated data, like the RFID and such. That's a whole new area of opportunity for big data analytics. So those were just a few examples. It's certainly not a laundry list of all that's possible. It's just a little bit of preview so you can get the gears into motion and such in terms of opportunity, in terms of what you can do and such. And, you know, my recommendation would be don't be limited by the industry. So if we did say telecom or financial services or even the e-tailing, it may not be just limited to that industry. It may have applications for your world as well. So some examples, Best Buy has on Twitter something called 12th Force, and this is a social help desk. It actually helps save them $5 million annually in support. And the purpose of this 12th Force is that the employees answer customer support questions via Twitter. Bonobo's social business results in 13 times higher CPA from Twitter. So the CPA is cost per acquisition. They're using Twitter as a new customer acquisition channel. So this 13 times higher means that Twitter as an acquisition channel delivers 13 times higher rates, if you will, than other or more traditional acquisition channels. This last one is Paramount Pictures. They have this Super 8 secret hashtag, and the tweets with that reached about 9 million impressions in under 24 hours, and mentions of the movie were like 150, more than 150 per minute, and the receipts exceeded 1 million, and according to them, they saw a 52% above expectation results. This next one is Petco. And 1% of shoppers use the ask and answer feature, and that influences about 10% increase of revenue on their website. So one of the things I'd mentioned previously is that the more engaged customer will deliver higher revenue, and this is a classic example. I'm going to skip the sprint for a second, and the Sephora, for example, is yet another good users spend about 2.5 times more than average customers, and the super fans spend 10 times more. So all good examples of how higher engagement results in higher revenue. So if you would like some additional information on big data analytics or learn more about Data Square, feel free to send me an email and be happy to provide you with information. And if there are questions, we can certainly take those now.
Actually, Devyani, I don't think we're going to have time for those, but they could always, we can send them on to you. And before I forget the session that Devyani mentioned, those of you interested in the attribution session, that's at 4:15. That's a closing keynote panel, attribution and how to optimize your marketing spend. That's related to what Devyani mentioned a little bit ago. Okay, so thank you, Devyani. That was great. And I'm going to close this out. On behalf of Target Marketing and Printing Impressions Magazines and Info Group, I want to thank you again for attending this session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you learned during this presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also visit the information booth and fill out our show survey to let us know how we did. Finally, please check out the agenda for the rest of the day today to see if any of the other offerings interest you, for instance, that attribution session. We have a full day of sessions lined up, and you can attend as many as you like. Remember, if you miss anything today, the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting on Monday. Have a great day, everyone.